One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I am George Knapp, listening to That UFO Podcast and having one hell of a good time.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and this is your listener ramble show for the week. Thank you so much to everyone who's got in touch. I've got a wonderful backlog of questions and call requests, and this show is going to be made up of one email, and I'll get to that in a few moments, and 2 calls. Like I say, I could make them longer, but I want to make this a weekly show that people can dip in and out of, so an hour or so a week I think is good in terms of content at the minute. So thank you to everyone getting in touch. Please remember, if you want to be on a call or send in a question, a sighting or an opinion, then email over ufouapam@gmail.com. First off, I'm going to read you an email. Now, folks may remember I've mentioned once or twice on the podcast, I met a now friend at my son's football coaching, and he shared with me a pretty incredible sighting he had a couple of decades ago. And I've talked about it very briefly on the podcast before, but I missed out loads of detail and couldn't do it justice. So I asked him about sending me it over, and he reminded me last week and he's emailed it. So I'm going to read out this sighting from Graham, and then what I'll do is hand off to the calls. So Graham, this week, his sighting, he says, "Hi Andy. The sighting I talked to you about happened in 99 or 2000, as I recall. I was woken by my young daughter early, around 6 a.m, on a Sunday morning in late summer. I took her downstairs and gave her a snack and put the kettle on for me. I decided to have a quick look outside to check on the weather. We have a small walled back garden with a door leading onto Churchill playing fields. The field I was looking at was marked out for 3 football pitches or soccer pitches and ended in a tree line, so I am confident about the size and speed etc. of what I saw. I'll estimate in yards and feet because of this. To my right at the very end of the field, I saw a completely spherical ball of light coming over the field. It was lit in such a way that it reminded me of a car's headlights when they are switched on during the day, so not a blinding light, but definitely a noticeable one. I would estimate it to be 10 to 12 feet in size, perfectly round and about 100 feet up. I guessed this from the tree heights. It moved very slowly and silently up along the edge of the field above the tree line. This is where it gets quite interesting, folks, if it wasn't already. Why it got when it got round to 400 yards of where I was starting, or where I was, it started to change shape. The front of it started to become metallic, with the back end remaining the same glowing light. It continued to move very slowly and gradually changed into a wedge shape. I could not believe what I was seeing. It was the only time in my life I actually rubbed my eyes in disbelief. And Graham, when he's recanted this, has showed me him cleaning his glasses. This is how I remember it in detail as it passed me. It was around 200 yards away from me and around 120 feet up. It was a wedge-shaped object about the size of a family car. It was a dull grey metallic colour and had no wings or tail. There were no markings or lights on it. I had a perfectly clear view of it as it was bright sunshine, clear blue sky, and it was very quiet with no traffic noise. It was moving silently and travelling by my estimation around 5 miles per hour, so pretty slow, maybe slightly faster. The most remarkable thing, and this is something I'll never forget, is how unaerodynamic it was. It could not fly in a way, or I could not in any way understand how it could fly. One, it was completely unaerodynamic. 2, it was clearly made of metal. 3, it had no wings or any form of stabilisation. 4, it was completely silent. And 5, it was moving at such a very low speed, I had no idea how it was flying. The craft then moved past me, and still in its metallic state. It did not revert to its former spherical white light shape. It then gave what I would describe as a wobble or shudder, changed course and headed out towards the sea, which is around a 5-minute walk in a straight line from my house. The whole episode lasted about 1 minute. Over nearly 40 years, I have done an immense amount of business travelling, probably close to 2 million miles when you add up journeys by road, rail, air and sea. On occasions before and since this event, I've seen the odd lights that I couldn't understand. I've seen a light move in a strange way, but that's all they were, lights. If someone had said, Is this what you saw? I'd have shrugged my shoulders and agreed. The object I saw was literally as clear as day and very close. It was a very quiet, early Sunday morning, so I could have heard any noise it made. I have no idea what it was, how or why it went from seemingly pure light to a metallic substance. More pertinently, I have no idea how such a wedge-shaped metallic object with no apparent means of stabilisation could fly at such a low speed in perfect silence. Graham, thank you so much for sending that in. And obviously, I've had the pleasure of hearing Graham tell me that story in person now. And Graham's a really fun but serious guy. Like he says, very well travelled. And he's not the type to make up something like that at all. And he now has quite a cool interest and fun interest in the UFO topic to go along with that. So thank you. And folks, if you've got any thoughts or sightings like that, you know, early on a Sunday morning, clear day, low down, really interesting, and the morphing from shape from that spherical ball to metallic, like a wedge / triangle, really interesting stuff. So thank you so much, Graham, and thank you to everyone, like I say, who's been in touch. If I haven't read out your email and you've sent one in, don't worry, they are on a big list, and I am reaching out to more and more people for listener calls. And what we've got are a couple of calls today, one from Nick and we've got one from Reed. Reed, on the final call is sharing his own personal sighting, which is Chris Bledsoe-esque, and he goes into that in lovely detail. And up next, we've got Nick, who wants to talk about the religious aspect of the UFO phenomenon, something I touched on last week with Shane on the Listener Ramble. And of course, is something in a couple of weeks I'll be talking about with the one and only Diana Pasulka. So thank you so much, folks, and let's hand over to you on this week's Listener Call-In. Joining me now on the line for the listener ramble, I've got Nick in Philly. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy, it's good to be here.
Good to have you on, Nick. Now, listen, the floor is yours. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, so listening to your last ramble, I thought I would contribute it to a little bit. You know, you had had this discussion about religion, angels and demons and UFOs, and I had kind of thought I'd been wanting to write in for a while, as I'm somebody who would, I would say I am a Christian. I do believe the Bible very seriously. I am a sort of pastor, elder, and very involved in preaching, ministry. And so I've thought a lot about this topic. And so I thought I'd take an opportunity to jump in. And I wrote to you just, you know, a blurb of just some thoughts as a springboard. I guess, you know, I can summarize them a little bit and, you know, feel free to drill into some of the things. You know, basically that in the UFO literature, you often have this idea that the NHIs, ETs, whatever you call them, sort of create religion, you know, for various reasons, whether they're to control us, to guide history, or even to, like, in some scenarios, like Zachariah Sitchin and Ancient Aliens, to sort of control us, whether it's mining gold or, you know, some other purpose. And I think it's often presented as though if this was sort of revealed via disclosure, this is something, or perhaps it's something that the Vatican is, I'm not Catholic, but perhaps it's something that, you know, the church throughout history has kept hidden, and that this was almost like devastate if this was out. And then that's part of the reason why a lot of this stuff is hidden. You know, you have kind of like the president, President Carter, you know, who recently passed, you know, that he was sort of given this sort of brief and that he sort of, you know, buried his face in his hands and sulked, and it was kind of devastating to him. I guess I would offer this perspective, which is that, And I actually think that this is something pretty common that a lot of Christians kind of intuitively believe, even if they're not really engaged in the UFO topic, is that yes, actually, a lot of these quote unquote religions, I almost don't even like to call myself religious, but I'll say the term religion, all these kind of ancient pagan religions, actually, I would argue were created at one point by a lot of these, you know, beings. We can get into what they are exactly. I wrote to you kind of talking about kind of the hierarchy that I think goes on. And a lot of Christians, I think, get a little bit confused over the topic of the word God. I believe that there's only one creator God, one God to be worshiped. But actually, I think biblically speaking, the languages, there can actually be other gods, lowercase g's. They're not creators, they're created beings too. And that's when you kind of get into the hierarchy. There's good, there's bad, there's archangels, there does seem to be some hierarchy there. And I do see that there's this, you know, going back really early in human history, you know, there does seem to be these beings that stepped in, whether they had good intentions to beginning and then fell along the way. It's not particularly clear, but they did kind of present as kind of the prototypical gods, the Zeuses and whatnot. And then you see these similarities across the pantheons, whether it's Rome, whether it's Greece. And it's so interesting to me that you kind of see that term over again and again of these officials talking about the old gods kind of returning. And I keep coming back to this idea that I think we're kind of entering this new pagan idea. I think for a long time, we were very technological, kind of since the Enlightenment age. And if you're one of these, you know, beings, and I am kind of thinking of this a little bit in like kind of Jacques Vallée kind of way, you want to be very careful how you present yourself, because if you were to present yourself, you know, in a supernatural way, you might actually be counterproductive to your purpose, which is to, I believe, to steer people away from the one true Yahweh, and so the one Yahweh God of the Bible. And so you want to be very careful how you do that. So how do you present yourself? And I think that's where I think the alien makes a lot of sense. And it's something that a lot of secular materialistic people could accept. Well, yeah, of course, there are aliens, and these are who they are, and they are our big brothers, and they're giving us all these ideas. And often you see in these different stories of beings kind of stepping down and kind of exchanging ideas, giving, whether it could be technology, you know, maybe there's a kind of ancient technology side of this. You know, I think I'm getting a little rambly. I guess that's the point. But yeah, then I think we're entering this new era, and perhaps there's a change in strategy here where maybe these beings could become more overt in the way they present themselves. So that's kind of I think that's kind of the spiel. That's kind of the summary. Oh, I guess I also kind of mentioned you really actually see this idea quite a bit. You even see a biblical writer, Paul, writes to this church in Corinth, where he actually says, like, hey, like, when you're sacrificing when there's meat sacrificed to idols, know that those are idols that are, that those are gods that are actually demons. And this is an idea, as I was saying, a lot of Christians actually kind of understand, kind of intuitively. So I don't know. I'll just stop there. See any thoughts you had, questions, comments?
Yeah, I've been writing them down furiously as you've been talking. So I suppose if we're going with, and again, correct me if I interpret any of that wrong along the way. If we're looking at the idea that these entities, beings, whatever they are, have used religion as a control mechanism or a tool, can you speculate as to why they would even have that in the first place? So are we going back 2,000 years? Are we going back longer than that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It does get a little bit murky on like timeline and reason. Yeah. I think a lot of it probably was to receive worship and almost be their own gods in a way. I think you see this idea very often of these beings knowing that human beings have this special relationship with God, and they are given that we human beings, you and I, are in the image of God, and that these beings don't like that very much, that they despise us. They see us as you're these creatures from, you know, the dirt. They hate us, and then they almost want to receive worship themselves. I tend to think there's something of that, but also a tend of like trying to, as much as they can, because they can't see the future, mess with and turn people away from their true purpose, from their true calling. So if they're happy to send people into wars, they're happy to send to just lead people away, and also distort truth and lead people away and actually cause people to be deceived in various ways. So I guess that kind of could answer a lot of through all of history, but then also in the very beginning, as they were probably stepping into history and interacting with these people. And I don't know, some of it's blurry, so I don't want to go beyond what I think I know for sure. And I'm not necessarily saying I know.
It's all very bloody. It's all bloody. Don't worry about that. Yeah. It's blood as far as the eye can see. So what is the source of these entities or beings? And again, it's purely speculating, of course, but if you've got these entities or intelligent races that have created this religion to control us for worship, for whatever it may be, through some kind of ego or lack of recognition on their own part, what's their source? Are they from here? Are they dimensional? Have they journeyed here from a different planet? What's your thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of open to a lot of possibilities there. I mean, I think I would say certainly that they were created by this same God that created all things. Now, there's some interesting possibilities. Are they interdimensional? You know, yeah, that could kind of fit. They've always kind of been on this plane, but they're in this kind of spiritual sense as a higher dimension that exists kind of above our world. You know, you kind of hear that a lot. You know, and then there's some people that even go, no, they're actually so almost like very powerful, creatures that exist in a physical way. And perhaps they can move around and traverse the universe and go back and forth. And perhaps there's physical shifts. I don't know. That's speculation on my part. The only thing I would put my cards down on is that they're created by the same God. And by the way, I'm not actually opposed to the idea of extraterrestrials. I think in general, when I got into this topic, I actually hoped that I was really interested in that idea, because I don't think that I don't think that we have to be it. But as the more I got into it, I realized I think it's a little bit more than that. But I think there's also could be a kind of physical nature to this stuff, because I do think there's physical evidence, craft, bodies that could connect to that in some ways that I haven't really sorted out.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. When I was younger, I was in the Boys Brigade in the UK, and I went to like a Bible quiz because I was quite good at stuff. Not that I was particularly interested in the religion or studying the Bible. It was just part of what we'd done, and I was good at it. And the idea in the Bible, or at least one of them, and that's a whole other conversation, my issues with religion in general, is that Jesus was created, and stay with me, folks, Jesus was created in God's image. Is that right? So like God is the idea. He's like the spiritual being, the spiritual. Jesus is God's embodiment on earth. Is that about right?
There are certain groups that I would consider to be kind of outside the kind of Orthodox Christianity that would teach that Jesus is a created being. Arianism or the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you're familiar, I don't know if you have them in the UK.
Yeah, we do.
They would believe that idea that Jesus is in some ways the most powerful angel. He's the first create. Yeah,
Yeah, but no, I'm just thinking though that then does that speak to entities having to take on a physical form on Earth for whatever reason? And could it not just be as simple as that God is just one of these entities? And I'm not saying Christ Jesus was an alien. That's a hell of a conversation to have, right? But
yeah,
we're going back a long way when these books were written and things were changed and a lot of things interpreted and a lot of issues we have in the world right now are because of the way people interpret very, very, very old texts. And that goes across religions and afar as well. So is there not a sensible route to go down? And I say sensible lightly, that whatever God is just the source of these entities. And it's not necessarily the way cartoons or movies would depict a God, which I'm guessing is a more strict way that you would see it, some omnipresent force that created the earth in 7 days. And then Jesus and any other prophets that people would discuss are just the embodiments of these beings. And this is just the way over 2,000 years ago and more, these stories were interpreted. And that includes things like the birth of Christ and the star going to the manger, traveling across the sky, you know, angels showing up, demons being present. These are all just forms or labels. Well, they literally are labels. You can believe what you want to believe in terms of around that. I don't know. But that makes more sense to me, that this is just how people back then could interpret and understand what they were witnessing, and miracles / magic / advanced technology was just any of the above.
Right. Yeah. A lot of different things there. And I don't necessarily want to just like preach at you with different things there, but I guess maybe one thing I would say is the categories I see, and this is my perspective, and this is what I would advance is what most Christians believe. I guess kind of the three parties and that you kind of listed there would be God, and Jesus we would say is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. So God is, you know, in three persons, and it's a confusing, mysterious topic that obviously I could spend way too much time talking about, but that God is in three persons but one being, Jesus being one of them. And so it is a unique part of the story where the Son becomes a man, and that's part of the story. Then you have the angels. We have various, and angel is a difficult word because angel just means messenger. And there's all kinds of other beings. I would say those are gods in a small g sense, but they're still created, but they're spiritual beings. And I think they seem to be more eternal. And then there's us. And those are kind of the three categories. But yeah, you talked about like the stories and what they mean. There was something I was going to say that I heartily agreed with you there. And I wish I could remember because I don't. But I mean, I will say my supposition is I believe the stories are accurate, are accurately preserved, that that the Bible is a unique book. That's my, you know, that's my, I'm open about it, that it is a unique book, that I do trust what it says. But, you know, there is a lot of room, maybe not room for, well, there's a lot of questions I have on what something looked like exactly. What did this actually, and there's all kinds of interesting ways to speculate. I mean, you get into the Genesis 6 stuff, you get into the, what happened with, you know, angels coming down. It almost sounds like they married human women. Okay. What in the world was going on there? I have lots of different, you know, there's all kinds of different ways. What happened with the flood? What did that look like? And I think there's a lot of places where, well, I believe that the, what is in there is true. There's definitely a lot of room for other things that could be going on. And some of it, frankly, is things that I think God has intentionally kept hidden from us.
Can I just jump in? When you say, just so I don't forget, like, you know, the flood, you talk about cataclysms, and that's a popular term over the last few years in the UFO topic, you know, a cataclysm, something happening, a new beginning, whatever it may be. You talk about angels coming down, and like you say, an interpretation being marrying human women, or, and that it could look like that. People talk about hybridization and beings impregnating, taking sperm, taking sperm from human males, all that kind of stuff. And you've got these hybridization and abduction programs. There's just a whole lot for me that you could probably go, and it might be too easy a thing to do, but these things transfer over. I know we're kind of stuck on time, but I want to ask you, is the idea then of differing religions potential proof of different sources and different beings with different control mechanisms? or do you still believe all of these religions would go back to one primary source?
Yeah, good question. I would say that there's a mix. I think there's certainly a lot of religions that evil human beings just create for their own benefit, or even take what are traditionally good religions and turn them bad. You've seen that in the Catholic Church, at instance, where, you know, sucking money out of poor German peasants to build these massive cathedrals. You have in America, unfortunately, you have a history of these pastors, you know, who appear on TV and they say, send me money and you'll be blessed. And, you know, that's all, you know, I see that as an abomination. I don't know. And there's probably a lot of religions that just start with, I think I saw something and then this led to this and this led to that. Yeah, I could say that that's true. Now, I happen to believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most well-documented event in human history. And I believe that event just in the way I believe the Roswell event, that some, not that I know exactly, but I think something happened there because I believe eyewitnesses and I believe the transmission of information. But I think maybe going back, I'm drifting a little bit, but your question about source. Yeah, I don't know. I think you go back to some kind of ancient pagan proto-religion. I think actually there's a lot of connections to astrology, constellations, zodiac. I think that there's something there. You even talk about Immaculate Constellation, Project Zodiac.
Yeah.
I think those all tie in with what I see as this first, I would say, I would use the word counterfeit religion presented by these beings.
And just to get your thoughts finally on, I just spoke to Lenval Logan, who's one of the UAP task force workers or members.
Yeah, listen to that.
Yeah, we were talking and he was the one that brought up there are objects they see that would look like angels, or what some of the descriptions or depictions of an angel could be, just with light and shape and position. And we didn't go into that too much more, but I thought that was really interesting from his perspective to bring that up, that you've got people sitting in 2020, 2023, 2022 in a UAP task force looking at objects and going, these could be what people thought angels were, or vice versa.
Yeah, very possible. I don't know. I tend to suspect that angels probably don't look like what we imagine.
White robes, long hair, big wings.
Yeah, probably not. People are usually very afraid when they meet angels, and but then again, I think the sort of the bad ones, if I can use that phrase, the Bible says Satan can appear as an angel of light. And I imagine they could appear however they want to any person for whatever purpose that they would want. Could that purpose just be to distract? And because I think some people, these UFO community, they see things and it kind of changes their life in a negative way forever. Could appearing to somebody in a certain way, I don't know. I can't answer. I could see possibilities.
And final thoughts then, what are your expectations or hopes for this coming year, 2025, for the UFO topic?
Yeah, I thought you'd ask me that. You tend to end a lot of your conversations that way. you know, I'm a little torn because, well, on the one hand, I think what I would want is something is kind of an impossible ask, because there's a sense in which I want the government to be open about what it knows, but there's a sense where I don't trust the government really at all. So anything they say, I'm always going to be suspicious. I mean, it'd be great to get, I'm really interested in historical cases and getting like, okay, what happened in this case? What documents, what photographs, what old, you know, film reel do you have that shows, you know, these are the, you know, the, I'm interested in that hard evidence, really. I don't know. I mean, but then again, I question whether it's always prudent, and I can see why there could be forces at work who are trying to keep this buried, not because it's a dark secret, but because the secret might not have an end.
Yeah.
And I wonder what part of it is part of the deception. I mean, you sort of like at the end of National Treasures, where the father character is just like, no, it never ends. It's always one thing that and I sometimes think this topic can be like that. And perhaps I sort of suspect it's perhaps by design, at least on the spiritual aspect, that you never really get to the end. You always get deeper and deeper, and it's more mysterious, and it kind of sucks people in, and they get deeper and deeper into these esoteric things, which was what they want. And, you know, these entities don't necessarily, I think they care more about distracting us from what we are supposed to do than necessarily having themselves worshiped. So if they can distract us from what we should be doing, I think you alluded to the church often losing its way. And I think it's very much the case that they're very active in the church to try to stop us from doing the things that God wants us to do, I guess I would say.
Awesome. Good call, Nick. No, anyway, great perspective. Yeah. I really appreciate that. I loved it. So thank you very much and hope to hear from you again.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
Up next on the listener call-in for this week, I've got Reed joining me in South Carolina. Reed, welcome.
Thanks, Andy. Great to be here.
Very good to have you on. And the floor is yours, as always. What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to tell you about a sighting I had a year ago, December. So not this past December, December 2023. I know you're familiar with Chris Bledsoe's book, UFO of God. And I read that book. I had read all the Secret Machines books and, you know, everything that was coming out since 2017 with the naval videos that came out. And so when UFO of God came out, I was interested in that book, just like all the others. And as I read it, it was a lot, you know, it's a hard book to take in, even at being in the UFO topic since I was 15 years old, you know, since the 90s. This one, I have a very open mind to people's stories about UFOs, but that book is heavy. You know, he's got a lot of direct interaction with beings and little creatures with red eyes, you know, paralyzing his son in the woods. And, you know, that book's just a lot to take in, but it also has a religious angle where, you know, he believes he's seeing angels in the sky. You know, he thinks he's figured it out, and he may have, but I was getting through the book. I was very interested in it. I did feel a little bit of a connection with it on some of the aspects of it. But, you know, was kind of in that limbo of wanting to believe it's all true, because I do want to get to some sort of answer on the whole phenomenon topic. But also just being a little bit, keeping it at arm's length, if that makes sense, you know? And so I was kind of updating my family. They know I'm very into this, and they're very supportive. They may not always, you know, agree, but they do listen, which is nice. But as I got to the end of the book, I don't know if have you read the book?
Yeah, I mean, a while ago now. I think I had Chris on about 3 years ago or something, or two years
ago. Yeah. So as you know, Chris summons orbs on command pretty much every time he tries. And had lots of witnesses. He's been on TV shows doing it, and Beyond Skinwalker doing it. And so the very last page of the book, he says, look, if you want to do the paraphrasing, but he says, if you want to do this, you can go out in the yard. And his words are to surrender yourself to the sky and say, I am here. So I'm telling my family at dinner in the dining room, he says, I should go out in the yard and do it. So I'm going to do it. So as we finished dinner, I got up, after I announced I was going to go try it, I went into the yard, and I wouldn't say I surrendered myself. I thought that's a little, we don't know what the phenomenon is. You know, the word surrender kind of threw me. I'm not going to look at the sky and surrender myself. But I did kind of just start talking, which felt really silly. Looking north toward Polaris, which is the part of the yard that I can see the sky. The back behind me was trees. And I was about 60 seconds of talking, and I actually said his name. I said, Chris Bledsoe said I should just surrender myself and say I am here. So that's what I'm doing. I'm here. If you want to show me something, you know, this is the time. And literally as the words got out my mouth, a perfectly clear sky, no clouds, no nothing, no airplanes, just became lights. I have a drone that I use for work. And I can't triangulate, you know, how high this thing was or how large it really was. But if I had to guess, I'd say it was a couple hundred feet up. It was definitely above the trees of the neighborhood. Okay. It appeared, if I had to guess, I just felt like it was at least the size of a football field. It was, if I could describe it, it was like a parallelogram. So a rectangle kind of skewed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the corners were extremely bright. I don't know if you've ever heard, I believe Matt Ford told a similar story where he described seeing something over a house with his neighbors and the lights were as bright as Waldron's torches, but they didn't hurt your eyes. Have you ever heard that description?
I've heard various times about lights being incredibly bright, but they could be looked at or they don't cast a shadow, which makes no sense. And, you know,
Well, that's what I was seeing. I struggled to describe that quality for a long time until I heard Matt say, welder's torch, but you could look at it. So there's four of these and they're sending off, I could see detail in them. They were sending off little, if you imagine like a star that someone would draw with points, sending off points in different directions, but not in a pattern, not flashing like an airplane, you know, just, and move the whole thing. All four of these were moving very slowly. There was a fifth light that appeared later, but before that happened, I immediately thought of my family, right? And I ran to the window and I banged on the window. And my daughter was carrying dishes from the dining room to the kitchen. And I'm like, get out here. And she's looking at me like, you know, what? And I said, get out here now. And one at a time, the family came into the yard and they each, without me pointing or saying anything, looked up. As you come out of our porch, you're facing that direction. So they each came out and looked up and they each had that reaction of, oh my God, you know, holy cow. Individually as they came out, and we all stood together, I'd say for about 3 minutes watching this. It moved toward the ocean. I live in Mount Pleasant, which is 10 minutes from Isle of Palms. And I could tell it was moving out toward the ocean. My son actually said, should we be recording this? And I said, I can't believe I said this. I'm also a photographer and I'm an astrophotographer. So I shoot the sky with telescopes. I actually said, I don't think this will show up on your phone. Later, I regretted that and said, why didn't I run in the house and get my Canon? Why didn't I get my professional camera? Why didn't I get my car and drive and chase it? You know, none of that occurred to me till 15, 20 minutes later. But while we're standing there all watching it, a fifth light appeared and one of the back corners passed that one kind of slowly. At first, I thought it was spinning, but it was just one of these lights, which made me think it wasn't one giant object. Right. For a while, I thought I was looking at something truly the size of a football field. But what I think I, in hindsight, thought, okay, this is four lights and now a fifth one. So they all headed out toward the ocean. We all went inside and I said to the family, everybody draw what you saw before we talk about it. Everybody just, before we say anything, everybody just draw what you saw. So we passed around a pad and I still have it. It's at the house. I wish I had it to show you, but, I drew my four lights with the description of the fifth one. And when we all got finished, they handed it to me. My son drew a kind of almost a swarm of 12 lights, little dots. He did not see the bright, big flashing lights. He saw 12 random, like in a swarm. Mm-hmm. My daughter and my wife drew 15 lights, little pinpoints in perfect lines, like they were in formation. So my daughter and my wife saw the same thing. They saw 15 tiny little dots in like maybe, I guess it would be rows.
Yep.
Move, you know, and that immediately just floored me because I didn't see the little dots. I just saw four to five really bright lights. And so that was an insane part of the sighting for me. Another aspect to it that really made it real for me was when, you know, I'm very excited, I'm kind of on a high. I can't believe, I'm so thankful the whole family saw it, right? If it was just me, I just announced at dining room table, I'm going to go outside and talk to the sky and I come back in and hey, I saw this football field, you know, that would have been difficult even for my family. They would have thought, okay, dad's finally kicked it. But during all of this, during the excitement that I was feeling, my wife was standing at the fridge and she said very seriously, she said, don't do that again. And she was dead serious. She did not want me to go talk to this guy ever again. And she said, you know, we have a safe, secure environment here. I don't want you inviting that stuff in here, in this house. And she was referring to the stickiness of the phenomenon. You know, she's not as into it as I am, but she's heard enough of Skinwalker Ranch and, you know, heard me tell her stories. And she's a very good listener, but she's not going to run and watch the new season of Skinwalker when it comes out. But her reaction that she didn't want that stickiness made it even more real, you know, that she had not only seen it, but she had felt that this was something out of the ordinary.
So first off, is that is that the end of the...
That was the end of that sighting, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Then I kicked myself for the next hour for not jumping in my car and chasing it.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to have folks kicking their devices for an astrophotographer not filming it, because that was going to be my obvious first question, especially when you say 3 minutes. But I've been there myself, near an object, and not been able to think first. But then again, I was driving, and I remember thinking, even if I did take my phone and film while I'm driving, you're not going to see on my phone anything other than a couple of really, really small points of light, maybe. Yep. And it won't show anything. And then it's just another one of those videos online.
Yep. I think honestly, if I had taken out my iPhone or gotten that Canon, I think that's what you would have had. You would have had something hard to focus on, something that somebody would say, oh, it's just a faraway plane or whatever, you know. They were also very far apart. I mean, you're talking over here and over here. So I would have been bouncing back and forth, you know. And if I tried to get it wide, they would look like stars. You know, it would have been tough to shoot for sure. But it was strange in the moment. As I'm standing there staring at this, I felt locked in place. I felt like I didn't want to take my eyes off of it. I didn't want it to end. You know, I had a million things going through my head. You know, I've researched this stuff for 35 years, you know, and since I was 15. And to actually be seeing something like that after I just asked for it to show up, it was really kind of dumbfounding. Like, I just couldn't move, really.
No Starlink satellites, big satellites?
Okay. Yeah, it's a good question. So I have had more sightings since. And I think I should have said before that, I never had a sighting that couldn't be explained.
Sure.
So my dad and I have seen things on camping trips when I was younger, and we were able to later explain them. I saw the Aurora Pulse Engine Top Secret Project fly across the sky once. Then 10 years later, I had a pilot tell me, you saw the Aurora Pulse Engine. So I saw anomalous things that were later explained. So I forgot the question when I went on that.
My immediate, again, any lights in the sky or points of light, Starlink satellite.
Okay, satellites,
in general, yeah.
So I have astronomy software that I use to plan sessions for astrophotography, and it includes satellites. You can turn off nebulas and galaxies and turn on just satellites. And that includes military satellites, although I'm sure it doesn't include classified stuff. That particular sighting that night 100% was not Starlink. I know what Starlink looks like. I know I've seen it many, many times go across the sky. I know the speed that satellites go. I know how satellite flares work. And this definitely did not match any charts or any of my software of where all that stuff was that night. I know I told you my wife said, don't do that again. But
yeah,
of course, I'm in the yard. Yeah, I'm in the yard. I'm in the yard every clear night with the telescope, and I have definitely tried to get it to happen again. And I think she knows that, but I'd say over the last year, it's happened. I've seen something that event, nothing that dramatic has happened again, but I've seen anomalous things that I have then gone and checked the software to see if it was a satellite. And I'll go months without seeing anything. And then I'll get a couple of nights in 1 week where I'll see something. And what it usually is a pulse, like a slow pulse light or a flash, but it's a repeated flash. Whereas like a satellite flare is usually one flare, two per day from a satellite, but you're never going to see like 10 in one spot or 5 in one spot. But I've done quite a bit of research on satellites because of these sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is a satellite, I'd want to know that, right? But just this past Saturday, my son and I witnessed next to Procyon, which is a star that is to the west of the Orion Nebula. If you ever seen the Orion constellation, Procyon's the next brightest star. So every night, many, many, many satellites, the biggest cluster of it's like a river of satellites, goes through Orion. It just tracks right through it, almost through the Orion Nebula, like overnight, every night. We saw over by Procyon a flash, and the first flash happened after I had said, you know, it's funny to say this, but you actually do just talk to the sky. It's like, hey, I'm back. Do you want to show up again like you did last time? And most of the time, nothing happens. But Saturday night, I kind of gave up and I was like, all right. And I kind of said, all right, oh, well, and I sighed and I was going to go in. I got a flash. So I stopped, backed up, started talking. My son came out, and together we saw about 12 or 14 flashes, not in a rhythm, just kind of random. It stopped after a while. I went inside, pulled up the software, and there's maybe three satellites that pass near where we were looking, near Procyon, but not 14. And I looked up, there's a website you can go to, I think it's called SatFlare, which mm-hmm. will tell you the chances where to look to see a satellite flare, and it said that none were predicted for that time. It was like 10:07 on December 3rd, I think. So we do. I you know, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what it is, but it started that night, December a year ago. After all these years of wishing I could see something, it's like all of a sudden, it happened, and now we're getting little taste of that. Probably 7 or 8 times in the past year, I think.
Well, it sounds like you've got the expertise and the background to know what you're looking at better than the average person, even just with the software and equipment that you have and your background read. So that's, I wouldn't question that at all. Have you got any gut feeling as to why you think now you're able to, not you're able to, Christ, that sounds like you're summoning these things yourself, like that, as if, you know, you walk out and it's up, there's read back, let's all pop out. But can you think why or what's changed, or can you even, is there a reason you think or you hope?
I don't have an answer as to why, you know. I'm, as much as I believe that there's a phenomenon going on, I've read enough of the books, and I'm still fairly skeptical when it comes to this stuff. Like, I want proof, right? Like everybody else. It's a difference between something being a belief and something being a fact. And so when it's happening, I'm still having that sense of curiosity and awe, like I'm seeing something for the first time. Like, I can't possibly explain what it is, because it doesn't fit. I even went to a couple of different AI programs, and I said, here's exactly where I was, here's what time I was, it happened, and, you know, here's what I saw. And Google's Gemini told me to report a UAP. It said, this doesn't fit this doesn't fit satellites. It doesn't fit anything. You should report a UAP. And it actually sent me to the MUFON website. And I'm like,
okay,
you know, I thought that was really interesting, but I don't really have an answer. You know, I ask it questions, you know, I'll, when it's happening, I'll say, things that I really want to know, like if there really is a phenomenon going on and it's interacting with humans in this way with Chris and other people, is it on our side? You know, like Chris believes they're angels and he's like 100% these are beings of love and light and there's something scary coming and these things are on our side and don't worry, there's this big awakening coming. But I'm standing out there going, you know, whose team are you on? That's what I want to know. And unfortunately, I can't even say if a flash is a yes or a no. You know, I'm just getting a response of some sort.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be a yes or a no. It's just like you say, it's an acknowledgement, a response, it's a communication. It's I see Chris Bledsoe on Facebook and there's some interesting videos. Quite often I look and wonder, is that point of light a satellite or an out of focus star? And a lot of people online post out of focus stars, because you'll know better than I do that when you zoom in on a point of light with a piece of equipment, there comes a point where it'll, depending on the quality of the equipment, it'll start to look like, you know, those static balls you put your hand on and the bits of electricity come up and hit your hand. Imagine that out of focus. That's what stars kind of go like, or they can look like they're spinning balls and stuff like that. So it does get very difficult to film and capture. I don't know myself on that. I suppose as we kind of steer towards the end of the call, I do want to get your thoughts, as I like to ask everyone, Reid, on the coming year. As we record this, there are rumours that by the end of this week, potentially the day this show goes out, we're going to get a first-hand whistleblower coming forward. That's some of the strong rumours today. What is your kind of hopes or expectations or thoughts for the year ahead for the UFO topic?
Yeah, I hope that that first-hand whistleblower is Carl Nell. You know, I hope it's somebody that would be like the dream first-hand whistleblower, right, with his background. I hope it's somebody that is more, you know, somebody that is more along the lines of a Lou Elizondo or David Grush, that, you know, that is well-spoken and comes from a background that's easy to check out. And I'm excited for the coming year. There's definitely, no matter what side of the fence you're on with the UFO topic, there's definitely a lot of chatter about something coming, right? You have people in all parts, all corners of this, that from the super woo to even Lou, you know, Lou seems, I've heard Lou say in a couple of podcasts that we don't have the luxury of time to sit around and try to figure this out. The people need to just get used to the fact that there's something odd going on. There's somebody here, there's some sharing the planet with us. So I don't really, you know, I don't like people putting dates on things, you know, like, 2027 is the answer. And then I believe Chris backed that up to 2026. And, you know, now here we are, you know, Stephen Greer is acting like, you know, 40 whistleblowers are coming out in the next week. So, you know, it's, I always check Twitter a few times a day just to see if anything has exploded. But, you know, I just hope that, I feel like disclosure, like Limbo Logan said, and you guys were talking about, that disclosure has pretty much happened. You know, it's time for the public to get a little bit more involved, get better sensors. I've definitely thought about putting some things in my yard, like 360 sky cameras, that kind of thing. Just I love the idea of Limbo's Phenom app. To be able to pull that up in real time. That would have been nice to have a year ago for me to whip that out and, you know, get a little video of it. But I think we're moving in the right direction. I think your show is a big part of that. And I just hope we get to some answers in my lifetime.
Well, I think we're going to get some sort of answer or some more questions maybe in the next couple of weeks, by the looks of it. But probably I'm not just guessing, because I don't think I called it that last year, but I think we're in for a more exciting year this year. That doesn't always mean good or bad than maybe what we got last year, because it took a while for 2024 to really get going in terms of what kind of happened towards the end. But listen, Reid, awesome call. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure I'm going to hear from plenty of folks who have had similar sightings to yourself. And what I would love is when you get home, if you could email us over those pictures, if you've still got them in that pad, that would be great to share with folks as well, because they're going to ask. So that'd be good.
Yeah, and Andy, feel free to give my email out. I'd love to connect to other people on the subject, so I'm totally fine sharing that.
If you want to share it, you can read it now, or I can put it in descriptions, or if you want me to give it as people ask for it, up to you.
Why don't you give it as people ask for it?
Cool. Awesome. I certainly will. So yeah, if you want to get in touch with Reid, his experiences, then yeah, let me know, and I'll share that with you. Awesome. Reid, thank you so much, mate. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoke.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.